welcome to Voices of Freedom. Love Talk Radio. We're glad you're here this morning. Our plan today is to start a concerted effort to pray for the cure or the problem to be solved on the drug crisis that's in our region. And we've got kind of an outline for you that we'd like for you to follow when you pray for this. And I want to talk to you about prayer first, because I want you to be able to pray, and I want you to have confidence in your prayer. But I tell you something, if you haven't prayed the prayer of repentance and the prayer of forgiveness and asked Jesus to come into your life and lead you, your prayer doesn't leave the plaster on your ceiling. So, you know, just think about that. You know, I'm not trying to force you into anything or whatever, but if you want to talk to the creator of the universe, the one who spoke all that we know into existence, the one who gave us the model prayer in Matthew 6:9, where he talks about our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, all right? That God who gave us that model prayer, told us we could ask for our daily bread, said that thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever, right? That same God that gave us all those wonderful things and the opportunity to talk to him still has rules. So we got to think about that. We want to open our prayer life. Even when I'm saved, I'm still going to make mistakes. I still need to pray, Lord, bring it to my remembrance. If I've said something, done something, you know, whatever I've offended, however I've fallen short, bring those things to remembrance, because I don't want to carry them around, but I don't want my prayer line to be like a clogged artery, okay? If I need to get a stent in there, I want to get the stent in there as soon as I can. I want to hold that line of communication open. That's kind of where we're at here today. So I'm not going to reveal any more to you than this, is there's a group of men that have taken it upon their heart, and I'm sure there are prayer groups all over the region that are doing this. But I believe with God, he's got an order for everything. I believe there's a number of people, you know, that are doing whatever they're doing. But I believe when we really get serious, that God will pour it out. And I believe when they really get serious, you know, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray, which is 2 Chronicles 7:14, if we really get serious about this, God will do his part. It's his good will that people get saved. It's his will that people would come to depend on him. It's his will that we would even talk to him this morning, and he's made the way and paved that way for us to be able to do it. So when I open up this prayer today, I want to say that, you know, we're our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. God, when Jesus gives us this prayer, he's praising the Lord. Hallowed be thy name. The most holy name ever in existence is God. Okay? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Give us this day our daily bread. Right? So we have a prayer of confession as we open our prayers personally, sort of like the priest of the Old Testament. They had to confess their sins in there. Then they had to say, look, I'm representing all these people. So not only am I praying today and asking God to reveal my own sins to me and confessing my own sins, but there are a region full of people, a region full of churches, of government, and there's a moral disobedience in all that we see around us, and a moral failure of all of us. Lord, if I'm praying to you today, and I am, I'm asking you, this Jesus First campaign, it's not so much about getting a big political position, but it's about the opportunity to share Jesus outside of church. When we remember hearing about the two girls that got saved because they didn't even think about Jesus out of church, that's how we know that this can work, and how we know we need to take Jesus outside of church. So we're praying, Lord, for this confession of our sins, but we're praying that you'll bring to remembrance the sins and those that are out of fellowship, those that need to come back to you, convict those that have never surrendered to you and never come to you to get saved. There's a prayer request that we've lost out on, or we've given up, or we think we've talked to people too many times. But Lord, we're praying, Lord, that you would heal these people, that you would heal them because they called on you and they got saved. So we're going to pray this morning, Lord, that we could just call down your power, your Holy Spirit, which we know from the restraining ministry of the Holy Spirit is holding back a little bit of the wickedness. But at the same time, Lord, there's a dark spiritual force that came to kill and to steal and to destroy. And you said it was the principality of the air, the devil and his enemy or his angels and whoever else, Lord. So we prayed, Lord, this morning that you would be there and that you would carry him and that you would be able to ring down your power, because we're getting in mind and in tune and seeking you out and asking you to come into our lives. We pray for those who make these drugs, whether it be the meth. We pray for those that they bring or distribute the drugs, that God will prevent them from doing it. And he'll stop them. And I'll tell you what, God stopped me in my tracks in March 1997. God, I know because you stopped me, I know you can stop them. God, I was on a quick path to hell, and I know because you stopped me that you can stop them. So God, convict their hearts. Find the redemption that I found in Jesus. I'm praying for all the drug dealers to get their redemption as well. For you recall Saul, as he was stopped and blinded on the road to Damascus, he was converted and he had been killing and persecuting believers. So anybody can be saved. Anybody can be saved. And that's what a lot of the aid workers, a lot of people that are spending all this time and effort and trying, and their heart's broken, and they're where they need to be in their prayer life to see people get saved. But people are going to have to do their part. God opens doors. God makes things possible. But at the end of the day, we have to do our part. Now, we pray for God to move on the minds, the hearts, and the souls of those who have lost hope. You may not even be on drugs, but you may have given up. Boy, I tell you what, many times in my life I've come to a position where I could have given up. Many times in my life I've thought, this ain't worth it. And, you know, I was watching ESPN yesterday, Lord, and one of the things that I saw was people fighting back, you know, that sense of losing hope, the sense of, you know, not being accepted, the sense of all these things. So, God, we're praying for you to move in the hearts and the minds and the souls for those who have lost hope, and to heal their heart and give them clear thinking and improve their self-worth. Because the greatest commission ever given to mankind is for us to go and tell other people about Jesus. And, Lord, because our goal is to tell them about you, that self-worth could be just through the roof for one sinner that gets saved and accepts the calling to go and tell. We pray that you'll protect our law enforcement at every level. We pray that they would be able to stop the drugs, and the police forces and the judges and the prosecutors will do their part. We know there are lots of rules, lots of laws, Lord, on the books that aren't being enforced right now due to the crowding of the jail. Well, I tell you what, it's a crazy thing, Lord. It's like, it almost be like, well, Lord, there's so much sin in the world that you're going to quit judging it for a while because there's just too much. Well, this would be the day and time, Lord, I believe. But I know you're not that way, and I don't think we need to be that way. So let's pray that law enforcement stays safe out there. Our policemen, our firefighters, our first responders that are on the front lines of this drug war, that you would be with them, and you'd carry them, and you'd guide them, and you'd take care of them. That's where our prayer is today on that. Pray, Lord, for our fathers and our mothers to become close to children. Lord, sometimes we don't know what to do, and we just pull back when I think maybe we need to push a little closer in. So we pray that they'll stay close to the children and give the parents knowledge of the cry for help and the discernment of drug use, and empower parents to lead children in love and with quality time. We're all guilty on this, Lord, of just turning on the TV or or letting all of us at the dinner table clicking through the news feeds and Facebook and all the things, we're all guilty, you see. But Lord, help us to open our minds to our kids. They're crying out for something. And Lord, if we let somebody else fill that void, somebody else will get our child. If something other than Jesus Christ fills their heart, something other than Jesus Christ will someday have their souls. So Lord, we pray for your intervention. We pray that we'll do a better job as parents. Lord, we recognize we're on the third and fourth generation of people who have not worked any kind of work. And as we were talking, Lord, about it with the pastor there Sunday, it's a heartbreaking situation in some respects because you don't know how to break that cycle. Well, here's how we break that cycle. It's through the Lord Jesus Christ. So, Lord, we know your power. We know that you say in Exodus chapter 20 that if you honor your father and mother, that we can have a long life. You make a promise right there that we will have a long life if we honor mother and father. But then in another place in the Bible, you talked about parents and how they shouldn't aggravate the kids, for lack of a better word. So there is a balance, Lord, and we pray that these people, we pray that these parents and these children and this family unit, it's one man, one woman, one lifetime. Why? Because that's the way it was set up, and that's what's needed to keep the family unit together. So fathers and mothers, that's what it's going to take, okay? Lord, we're thankful that we know what it takes, and we hope and pray to convey it to the region what it's going to take. We're praying today for parents who have lost children to drugs. We're praying for the parents today that are enabling their kids by pretending that the problem does not exist. I tell you what, you may think there's no place worse than jail, but there is a place, and that's the graveyard. So I'm telling you now, people, when you pray, I remember a big old guy in jail praying one night, and he said, "I thank you, Lord, for Mama. Mama prayed you'd keep me safe, and here I am in prison for life. Because if I'd have stayed out there on the streets, I'd be dead today." Think about that for a little bit, Lord. We thank you for that testimony that we heard. We thank you that we can put that in our mind and we can help people to understand the worst thing is death. The worst thing is death. Our time is about to run out here. I should have scheduled us a little bit more time in for this, but we will. We're praying for our community to develop programs to give potential drug users alternative opportunities and activities. Praying for education, including the administrators, the principals, the guidance counselors, teachers, and coaches, to teach and mentor those kids who are at risk. Pray for the friends of drugs and the users to intervene and encourage. Lord, we ask all these things in your Son Jesus' holy name. Amen.